This is WKSU News. I'm Kabir Bhatia. When it comes to recycling plastic, most people check for a number on the bottom of every container. But what does that number actually mean, and why are some plastics not recyclable? In this installment of our series, Reduce, Reuse, Refocus, we'll trace the life cycle of a piece of plastic.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word. Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
In the 5 decades since The Graduate came out, people like Meredith Ersing have thought about plastics, starting at the supermarket. The teacher from Stowe hits her local Giant Eagle each week, trying to buy items that come in recyclable packaging. But it's not always easy when she's shopping for herself, her husband, and a toddler who loves berries.
The clamshells.
Yeah, the clamshells.
Not fun.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, there is. It's a one.
The clamshells that most berries are sold in aren't recyclable. So she wants to know which plastics actually are recyclable based on that little number on the bottom.
When I've read about it, it seems like ones and twos are generally accepted and recycled, but I'm not sure if I throw a five in there, what really happens?
That triangle is one of the most misleading symbols that we have.
James Egan is a professor of polymer science at the University of Akron.
That is the resin identification code, and not all of those mean that they can be recycled. Those numbers are telling us things about the chemical structure.
Plastics 1 and 2 are easily recycled by most municipalities, but
plastics 3 and plastics 6, polystyrene and PVC, so vinyl and styrofoam, these are challenging because they can release toxic chemicals.
Number 5 is heat-resistant plastics. Number 4 is plastic bags and wraps that need to be kept out of single-stream recycling. And finally, number 7 is essentially a smorgasbord of everything else, some of which can't be recycled depending on where you live. In Akron, they accept bottles with a number 7. They're collected by people like Marty Schaefer, who gets up at 4 a.m. each day to drive a recycling truck.
This is my 4th year doing this, and we are picking up recycled cans in the Firestone Park area today.
A large claw reaches out to grab the blue bins that hopefully contain a pile of recyclables. He monitors the action on a small dash-mounted color TV.
This small camera, this is the only line of defense between non-recyclables and recyclables.
Yeah, as it dumps, I can see it go in the hopper. So if it's non-recyclable, I usually write it down and turn it in to the boss, and then they'll tag the can and, warn the people.
That's the chain of enforcement that could lead to repeat offenders losing their recycling bins. But Schaefer says it's happening less frequently. Ideally, someday he hopes to end his shift at Akron's Material Recovery Facility, or MRF, by dumping a full truck with up to 6 tons of actual recyclables.
That's the raw product when it comes in. It's all mixed together as it comes off the truck.
And that's when the work begins for Betty Trimper, who runs the waste management facility near the Goodyear Air Dock. Her team separates out any large objects or obvious hazards like car batteries. And then technology takes over the mixed stream.
We have an optical that is identifying the number 2. We have an overhead magnet that helps us collect the tin cans. Then it comes through here, and this is an eddy current, helps us attract the aluminum. And then it comes through here to where we do a last chance recovery, and we sort the rest of the plastics, including 3 through 7s.
Each type of recyclable goes down its own shaft, unless plastic bags contaminate the mix.
Well, if you block that hole up with plastic shrink wrap or bags, containers can't fall through. So now we have workers and cost involved to try to segregate that contamination.
Both Trimper and sanitation driver Marty Schaefer say bags, leaves, and compost are among the most prevalent contaminants they see mixed in with recyclables, even though there are other dedicated ways to dispose of those items. But at the University of Akron, Professor Egan says there's some incentive not to even bother.
Plastics are cheap. They're really inexpensive. And so to pay a truck to go around the neighborhoods burning gasoline in order to pick up the trash, then we take our recycled trash and we clean it up with fresh water, and then we melt it down with a bunch of energy, man, it's a lot of effort.
Egan adds that he's trying to find ways that plastic can still be recycled even when it's contaminated. That's good news for Meredith Ersing, back home in Stowe from the grocery store.
That's better than nothing.
Is this giving you any hope, or is it confirming your worst fears?
I feel like it is a little bit of both. At least we know the problems, and then we can move forward. But somebody's kind of got to come up with the next step then. At the moment, I'm maybe hesitantly optimistic.
I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7 WKSU.